This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. I've said that so many times, I should be able to get it right. Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. A big thank you to Jaden for the hits and Richard for the latest in local news and the Christmas Day secret forecast. On Worldwide Wave tonight, Alex is here.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back, Sarah.
Hello.
And a special guest, Con, is joining the Joy family. Hello, Con.
Hello, everybody.
Now, it's known as a shopper's paradise. It's a modern nation in the middle of Asia. It has high wages and standards of living, indeed the third highest income per capita in the world. It's got good education, multicultural population. About 40% of their population is from outside the country. It's been ranked the most technologically ready country in the world. Where does it rate? Why does it not rate highly on LGBTI rights?
What is stopping progress towards decriminalisation of homosexuality?
Has it made a difference to the debate that the grandson of the respected founding Prime Minister this year came out publicly as gay with his boyfriend?
What is the power of telling personal stories of the LGBTI community in Singapore? Helping us to understand the paradoxes of Singapore society, tonight we are joined by Yung Fa Liao, the Executive Director of Uga Chaga Counselling Service in Singapore, who dropped in into the Joy Studios to speak with us on a recent visit.
This is Scott from the Equality Network Scotland on the World Wide Wave.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop.
Just imagine.
can't stop the
And that was Justin Timberlake, Can't Stop the Feeling. And we are playing party songs because so many people are going to parties this
party
week.
Party season, isn't it?
It is.
Maybe we should have played food songs because that seems to be my life at the moment. Food, food, food. Or chocolate songs. Message has come in on 0427JOY949. That's 569949. Thanks, Kate. Hi, gang. Nice work today. I find listening to world rights for the LGBTI community really upsetting. I know it's important to know how our people are treated, but how do you combat the feelings of sadness when reporting stories of discrimination?
Well,
good question.
As I tell my students at school, that we've always got to remember that the long arch of progress is in the right direction. So it is globally we are all being elevated slowly, but that's the way we've got to try to remember. It's just that we seem to hear these bad stories because we have access to so much more news than we used to in the past.
Maybe we should start doing some things of 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago, and we'd really see, you know, how far it's progressed. To the fact that some people are even... Yeah, the fact that they can have a pride parade in an incredibly homophobic camp.
I always remember there was a we did a show on Cameroon, and one of the lead activists there who was out was murdered. And another activist stood up and said, well, no, that's not good. I'm going to keep fighting. So I always take the inspiration from the people who are willing to stick their head up above the parapet and say, no. Time to change. And I think you'll hear, Kate, stick around, because our guest tonight, Yung Fah from Singapore, as he's a fighter. He's in there, and they fight differently in Singapore, I think it's fair to say, but we'll share that with you very, very shortly.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We are indeed in Singapore tonight, where Singapore, previous British Empire, thank you, our usual presenter Paul, for sharing those sodomy laws around the world. Now, yes, previously all laws regarding to homosexual sex and heterosexual anal and oral sex was originally illegal up until 2007.
Is that a British law? Because I don't think I've heard of that before.
No, it seems to be a little bit more.
Yeah, like
normally they just forgot lesbians at all.
Yeah, cherry on top of that one.
They changed in 2007 so that it was legal for heterosexuals and lesbians, but not for gay men. Not fair at all.
No.
There's no recognition for same-sex relations. It's fair to say, though, they don't prosecute any consenting adult relationships regardless. So the laws are there, but they're not prosecuting.
Yeah, which I think is quite typical of several of these countries. Military service is a little bit more problematic. Homosexuals were barred from being employed in any sensitive positions within the Singapore civil service. And this mainly included, most importantly, included the defence forces. And they were given the Category 302 label, which was shortened to CAT 302. And I like this, where it says that... under CAT 302, gay and bisexual soldiers are further classified in those with effeminate behaviour and those without effeminate behaviour. So there are Butch and there's the Butch and the Nancys.
This is a little bit scary, though, because they have national service. So yep, you've got to do your two, I think it's 2 years of military service. So, and if you are classified under this category 302, well, you've got to go through a psychological assessment, and then you are medically downgraded to a status of somebody who's got a low level of fitness, and you go back into basic training, and then you get a desk job. That's like so wrong.
It's quite Surprising, because you can either self-declare or you can be discovered, and your parents have to be interviewed as well. In the media, the Singapore Media Development Authority prohibits the promotion or glamorization of the homosexual lifestyle on TV and the radio.
The glamorization?
Glamorization.
I don't think it's possible to stop that.
Which is naturally glamorous.
And Pink Dot, obviously it's sort of a... this annual Singaporean gay rights rally. Recent years, record crowds of approximately 26,000 attendees, with a heavy bent towards younger demographics.
It's Singapore's Mardi Gras.
It is.
Excellent.
And it's growing.
Share your views with the world.
It's a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we've stopped off in Singapore. A couple of messages have come in as well. Thanks to 713, just been dancing around my lounge. Thank you, Joy. We like it when we do. And this is another message, I guess, for Kate, when we get these, even though we get some hard-to-hear stories on here, we do try and put in some upbeat music because that's all a part of Joy's brief. In fact, we've got a thank you message back from Kate as well. Great to have you as a listener, Kate.
Now, you'll recall just before that break, we posed a question to Yung Fa Lee Au of Singapore's LGBTI counselling service of whether the coming out of the current Prime Minister's nephew was big news locally. Here's what he said.
Was it big news in Singapore? Was it like front page news?
See, that's the thing. No.
Wow.
It's not been. So I suppose you can have the rumour mills going, you know, why aren't we talking about this? But then certainly within the local queer community, it has kind of, for some people at least, it's kind of been a known thing for a while. But of course, out of respect for him, it's nobody's business to out him before he was ready. And when he did come out, I think many of us were happy for him. And that's just the local queer community. For the mainstream community, the rest of Singapore, it might be a case of... I don't know. I don't think I can speak on behalf of it, but it certainly wasn't front page news.
Is it that they don't
It might take
care,
time.
Or is it that the media is not willing to put that sort of story into the public domain?
Again, my hunch is it'll be a bit of both. On the one hand, my guess is mainstream media in Singapore probably don't know how to report news like that, or maybe they don't want to, or they might have been told not to. On the other hand, non-media people, the rest of us regular folk in Singapore, probably just don't care. And that it brings me back to something I've always been very mindful of, that in Singapore, most times we have people telling us, you know, whether it's the government or the media or the rest of the world, looking to Singapore and say, oh, Singapore is a conservative country. I challenge that. I disagree with that. The reality might be a lot of us in Singapore, just like in many other parts of the world, are just very regular, down-to-earth, pragmatic people. We live and let live.
Live and let live is an interesting thing, though, because if I take here in Australia, our marriage mm-hmm. equality debate, we had to fight. Mm-hmm. There were rallies in the streets. There were real advocacy efforts, posters in shop windows, mm-hmm. people shouting from the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything like that other than one night a year for Pink Dot mm-hmm. where the local LGBT community stands up and says, hey, we're here.
Yep.
Why?
Call it history, call it how things have worked out in the past 53 years. The history of how we have been governed and how laws have been passed and enforced and repealed and reinstated. It really is about when laws change in Singapore, I think we just take it. So for this is an example I like to give. Probably more than 10 years ago, there was a huge national debate on allowing casinos in Singapore. And back then, there was a huge backlash, a reaction from the local community, from the religious community, from people calling themselves conservatives, family values, all that people were very familiar with. And of course, it came to pass that the government, the cabinet in particular, made the decision to allow not one but two casinos. And then...
So went the other way.
The whole moral, religious, family values argument, you know, that no, we're a conservative country, we're... Everything about casinos was bad at the time, seen as bad.
Was that just money talking?
And then legislation was passed to allow casinos, not just one, but two. And so back to what I was saying earlier about how, well, we can talk to the cows come home about values and equality and conservatism and liberalization and all that. And we know the business case is often stronger in Singapore. So, casinos.
What's the business case for homosexuality then? Is there a case to be made around dollars and cents? If that's what makes sense to the government, mm-hmm. can a case be built around the pink dollar?
Hopefully. Not just the pink dollar, not just expenditure, but certainly, for example, attracting foreign talent, attracting investment from overseas. And also, again, comparing to Hong Kong as well with the recent legislation on how, a court case actually, of how a same-sex marriage between a local and a foreigner and registered elsewhere can now be recognised in Hong Kong, and that allows access to spousal benefits. In that case, it was access to same-sex spousal benefits for a public servant. So, and likewise, so there will continue to be more changes in Hong Kong and Taiwan as well. And that hopefully will make things more attractive for, say, gay and lesbian employees, given from outside of Asia, given the opportunity to work in Asia, given the option of do you want to go to Hong Kong or Singapore, and if enough of them, again, that might take time as well, we'll realise that, hang on a minute, things are a bit more equal in Hong Kong, we will make a point not to go to Singapore and go to Hong Kong instead. If that cascades upwards to management, to bosses, to make decisions about how, well, we've got X number of talented queer people who just don't want to come to Singapore anymore. So if enough of that happens, maybe our government will sit up and realise that that will take
time.
So
there's nobody there that is championing that, who is pushing that argument, who is making it heard?
Not yet. What we do need really is solid evidence and research to show that there is value, there's actual, I don't know, numerical, statistical number that we can put on this business case. Lots of work has been done in other parts of Asia, I think in Hong Kong and Taiwan and India as well, but certainly for Singapore. So
it's interesting how different cultures approach things. Like if I think, so marriage equality in Ireland was very much about love. Mm-hmm. Here in Australia, it was very much about being equal and fairness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then so perhaps it's much more pragmatic and economic for Singapore.
Yeah, perhaps as well.
That's Yang Fa Liao from Singapore's Ooga Chugga Counselling Service. We've got a bit more of Yang Fa coming up. This idea of a business case, it seems fairly clinical, but if it works, do you just run with it?
I think so. Whatever, so you use the different arguments for different levels of society. Some people will be for moral, some will be for money. And if companies will lead, then governments will follow, because they have to follow the money for the people.
Yeah, I think where he's coming at also is this idea that I would imagine in these sort of honour-based societies, where I think, you know, if it was seen that Singapore was falling behind Hong Kong and other countries...
Yeah, I love that bit of competition.
Yeah, there's competition, and so it's that sort of the shame of being, you know, like falling behind as being the premier metropolis of Southeast Asia, and as we said, attracting the talent that comes with that, being the sort of the top-billed city-state. So
there seem to be a number of countries who are, they're not quite over the line yet, but you've got Hong Kong, you've got Taiwan, you've got Vietnam, who are edging forward in their LGBTI rights. So, yeah, if they are seen to be regressive, then there's that economic argument, but just that whole embarrassment, really.
Yeah.
It is a perfectly modern place with this quite draconian law still in place.
But fits in with a few of the things in the country, you know, the whole thing about, the famous thing about Nunes, the strict attitudes to chewing gum and these sorts of strange, that seems strange
unique,
to us.
Yeah, that's right. Unique.
I guess it's very hard to become a Singaporean resident as well, so that you have those rights to vote, because I was just thinking about, you know, who, how many people support it. Probably quite a few, but actually foreigners.
Well, funny you say. So a survey just held last month about, because there has been this recent reinvigoration of the argument towards decriminalisation and removal of Section 377. So of the population, or a survey represented the population, 36% strongly agreed with the statement that repealing Section 377 would lead to a breakdown of the family unit. 28% went the other way. So it's still, and then there's this big chunk, over a third are in that middle neutral space. So either don't know, don't care, not quite sure.
Or the money might swing them the other way.
And then half of Singapore residents strongly agreed or disagreed that religious views and opinions should not influence Singapore's laws. 20% disagreed. So it's almost a bit of a dichotomy there.
Yeah.
Well, saying opposite things.
There's been a recent ruling where a court allowed a gay man to adopt his own biological son. So
he's a gay doctor, and this only this week this has happened. So this is quite a very, very recent decision. It overturns a 2017 ruling in which the court said the man couldn't adopt it. He was born by a surrogate in the US through IVF.
So that seems to be kind of a change. It's slightly more lenient than perhaps the arguments would suggest. And there's a lot of people who say as long as that people don't start trying to get marriage equality and rights, then they'll be on board with it. I think
there does seem to be, and maybe this is the conservative argument of confusing the debate between decriminalisation of people being gay versus marriage equality, you know, the thin end of the wedge type.
And it's
argument.
A bit of an echo of India as well, where it was a top-down sort of legal argument in India that eventually won the day rather than a groundswell from the, you know, from the Indian public. So it's a different.
So now we'll hear more from Youngfire in the next section, but we are going to listen to another party song, and this is "Let's Have a Kiki" by Scissor Sisters.
Let's party.
Hey, I'm calling you back. Ooh, she's been a bitch tonight. And by bitch, I mean Miss Rain. No cab, nowhere. So I had to put on the wigs and the heels and the lashes and the ear and take the train to the club. And you know the MTA should stand for motherfucker punching my ass.
Lock the doors.
Sorry. Let's have a kiki.
I'm gonna let you have it.
Let's have a kiki.
I wanna have a kiki.
Die, turn, work.
Let's have a kiki.
We're gonna serve
and work and turn.
And honey,
kiki.
I wanna have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Sorry. Let's have a kiki.
I'm gonna let you have it.
Let's have a kiki.
I wanna have a kiki.
Die, turn, work.
Let's have a kiki.
We're gonna serve
and work and turn.
And honey,
kiki.
I'm gonna let you have it.
Let's have a kiki.
I wanna have a kiki.
Die, turn,
radio.org.au, not just a radio station.
And I'm sure you all know that. That was Get the Party Started by Pink.
It's already started. It's been started since 7 o'clock here on Joy. Actually, we party all day here on Joy. That's what Joy's about. Messages in on 0427JOY949. Thanks, Penelope. Penelope's recalling back in 1986 when Current Affairs had a story about two consenting men having sex in their home and a neighbour reported them, and that fired up Penelope enough to actually write to the show. I think that's... whilst there are lots of bad things... or lots of challenges for LGBTI people around the world, it does show how far things have come in a pretty short space of time when you think about it. We want it to go further, for sure, but the speed of change in a lot of areas has come through. Another message in on Facebook, Hoffler, we posted a message that, so in Australia, there's been over 6,000 same-sex marriages in the first year of marriage equality. He says, yes, and many guests have had to start buying some pretty expensive gifts. I already have three weddings to attend next year. Yikes. Excellent. That's the price we pay for equality.
Exactly. Now, we were speaking with Yang Faliao from the Ugachaga Counselling Service, who has recently released a book of personal stories of the LGBTI community in Singapore.
Now, you've pulled together a book of personal stories of the LGBT community in Singapore. Tell us a bit about it.
So this is called I Will Survive, Personal LGBTQ Plus Stories from Singapore. So what happened was, it's a bit of a backstory to this, and there's an Australian connection as well. Back in 2009, while on holiday here in Australia, I remember being on holiday and receiving a text message from a friend informing me of the death of a mutual friend. So what happened was, as we found out later, he had killed himself, a young gay man who was living with depression at the time. And then I kind of remember actually having spoken with him probably just hours before he decided to kill himself. We were just chatting to each other. This was on text message as well. And he was kind of telling me about him going through a rough time because I was on holiday in Australia. I couldn't kind of be with him. We just chatted for a bit and then the conversation just ended as it does. And I remember thinking, well, I'm a bit worried about him, but I think he's going to be all right. And of course, he wasn't all right because a few hours later, I got another message from someone else saying that he'd killed himself. So, and this was me back... before I joined Ugachaga, this was me working previously for a suicide prevention service in Singapore. Mm. And this is me, a trained social worker, trained in suicide prevention, knowing somebody, a friend, who goes on to decide to kill himself. And what I went through at the time was difficult. It was the sense of being so utterly helpless, very mixed personal and professional roles and feelings of, I'm supposed to know this. I train other people on, you know, suicide prevention. I work with people who are going through suicide crisis on how to stay safe and how to prevent suicide. And here it's happening to me. What kind of a social worker am I? What kind of a gay man am I? I can't stop my own gay friend from killing himself. So went through all that, not easy as you can imagine, while on holiday in Australia. And one of the things that came up to me, and again, this is again a shout out to the power of the written word. Books and stories. I remember, again, going to a bookshop in here in Melbourne, Harris and Aina's, and of course in Sydney, the bookshop Darlinghurst, and picking up books and thinking, well, we need more stories like this in Singapore. We need to hear and read stories of what LGBTQ plus people go through, in addition to coming out stories about growing up, in difficult situations, maybe being outed by family, having relationship difficulties, everything, the whole range of issues that we all go through in addition to coming out. So kind of just had a few ideas in my head. I remember on a flight back home to Singapore, I just wrote down on a piece of paper some ideas I had, and I thought, right, I'll just ask some friends if they'd like to share their stories of being LGBTQ plus, being queer in Singapore. And so sent the word out, did a few appeals online, and to my pleasant surprise, I got sort of 21 people from the queer community in Singapore coming forth with their stories of being queer in Singapore and having lived through, dealt with, coped with, survived, and thrived in spite of, maybe because of, all those issues they've gone through.
So the stories, tackle the bad bits, the good bits,
the bad bits, the good bits, everything. So real life stories, so personal real life stories and experiences. So, of course, drawing inspiration from Ms. Gloria Gaynor, I decided to title the book I Will Survive. and again, one of the things that we realized quite early on putting the book together, collecting stories from people, was the stories were very powerful, and the focus of the stories in the book should be on the stories rather than on people's identity. The first print edition sold out in 2013. We had a reprint in 2015, and that sold out as well. So now we've come to the third edition of I Will Survive, just came out this year, 2018. So, and it's available, just a quick plug as well.
Where do people find it?
People can find it through my publisher, Math Paper Press, which is the publishing arm of a wonderful independent bookstore in Singapore. They're called Books Actually. So go find them, booksactually.com.
Now, that was Yung Fa Liao from the Ugachunga Counselling Service, supporting the LGBTI community in Singapore. We've got more from Yung Fa for you in the new year, and where we hear more about religion, gay conversion therapy, and Singapore's trans community.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
A few messages still coming in. Thanks, guys. Love having these messages. Hope you're having a wonderful lead up to Christmas. 713 says, what a great idea. Joy should do a similar book or show. I guess elements of our show do sort of tell the lives of various LGBT people from around the globe. So I guess part of it, sometimes we're very newsy, depending on what the breaking news is, but sometimes it's just, I remember when we did the story on Cook Islands, and it was just, you know, what's it like being a trans person in Cook Islands? And that is just amazing. So we are a kind of audiobook for this one. And 317 is back with us. Hello, loving you, missed you, and glad you're enjoying the show. Thanks for being with us. Tonight we've been talking all things Singapore, so a big thank you to Yung Fa Liao from Singapore's Ugachunga Counselling Service. You can find out more about what they do at ugachunga.com, and booksactually.com is where you find out about that book.
And we've got some messages, sort of Facebook. Aldo, Richard, Mickey, Bess, and a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's on W3 Joy on Facebook.
Thank you to Alex for doing our podcasting, and Dean, our social media man.
You're welcome.
And coming up,
We've got the greatest hits album with One Hot Wonder with Grace.
And she's got Jeff Buckley's album Grace tonight on the show.
And now to see us out, we have Anthony Kalea with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra with Nothing Compares to You.
Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
But nothing, I said nothing can take away these blues. Cause so lonely without you here, like a bird without a song. Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, baby, and guess what he told me?
Guess what he told me?
He said, boy, you better try to have fun no matter what you do.
your man and mama in the backyard. Oh, Dad, when you went away, I know that living with your baby was sometimes hard, but I'm willing to give it another try. Nothing compares, nothing compares to you. Nothing compares, nothing compares to you. Nothing compares, nothing compares to you. It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.